I want you to go to Hebrews. I appreciate you coming this morning, and I hope you're getting something out of it. I hope this is more than just coming to church. I want you to get something out of it so when you walk out of that door, you can say, you know what? He fed me a little bit. I got a few crumbs out of the oven of a holy and righteous God, and I got a little bit into my gut. So I want you to go to Hebrews, and I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Now, remember that I believe that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts here, the books of Romans through Philemon here, and Hebrews through Revelation are over there. Y'all with me? I believe that Hebrews, who were Hebrews? What was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John written to? Hebrews? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got it? Paul did not write Hebrews. Why? Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. Is he the teacher to the Gentiles?
Yes.
The minister to the Gentiles?
Yes.
Yes. Well, then most of your Bibles that say Paul wrote Hebrews is probably incorrect. But the doctrine is what's important in Hebrews. That's what I want you to see. The doctrine lines up with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doctrine. So everything in Hebrews through Revelation is written to the Jews. Why? Are we appointed unto wrath?
No.
Are we going to go through the tribulation?
No.
You know how many Christians are confused about that alone today? 90% of the people going to church today have no idea whether they're going through the tribulation or not. That's a fact. You can know. It's in this Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. I'd put Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 right there if I was a Bible student. I'd write that in my Bible. Matthew 5, 20. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now watch. This is very, 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 did I say very? Very important. 90% of the people have no idea what they read when they read this, but I want you to read it. Now, I've got an English teacher here. She keeps me straight. I can't read without her. I don't know where I've been without her all my life. But there's comma clauses that separate a sentence. Like you could say, the big dog that ate the little child who was hairy and wagged its tail ran home. Now, you could just leave all that out and say the dog ran home, but you'd really miss out on the part that the dog ate the child. Hello? Whose phone is that?
For me, I'm not here.
Camera?
I'm not calling any names, but, you know.
Camera, my camera person, my best camera person ever? All right. I mean, the dog ran home, but wouldn't you miss the part that it ate the child and wagged its tail? And if you don't like your kids, feed them to the dog. But those commas, you can leave them out, and the sentence still has to make sense. Is that correct? Be a little more bold when you say that. It just really lets down the whole thing I'm trying to do here.
I like commas.
I like a lot of commas. In fact, Brenda tells me I put commas where commas don't even need to go. I just think they're cute.
It's more embarrassing than not to put them in when they're needed.
You know, I'd have learned English if I'd have had a good-looking teacher like that, but mine was 90 years old and ugly and mean as the snake, I'm telling you. All right, now can we read this with a little bit of the commas? For it is impossible, everybody. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, notice the comma, and had tasted of the heavenly gift, comma, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, comma, and had tasted of the good word of God, comma, and the powers of the world to come, comma, if they shall fall away, comma, to renew them again unto repentance. So far, so good. Now, on the end of a sentence, when it is a semicolon, what does that mean? No, that would be a colon. It's standalone as a sentence, but they tie it in with the next sentence because it makes sense. But it's a standalone sentence. So far, so good?
Independent clause.
That's exactly right. That's what we call that in English. Okay? Now, how many's got their English lesson in for this morning? Hey, good. Now, you don't get this at some other church. Don't be playing this game. You guys ought to pay extra in the plate back there when you leave, because the English lesson was just a little bit over the edge. And I'll share some with you. She's got Chris. She doesn't need anything. Chris is not only good looking, young, he can sing too. That just makes us all mad. Although I got to say, the kids sing as good as he did. Better. Amen. All right, so I'm going to leave out all the comma clauses, okay? For it is impossible. What does that mean?
Cannot be done.
Cannot be done. Say that. It is impossible. Say that. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. If someone backslides from the truth, guess what? Can they be renewed?
No.
There isn't any coming back to God and saying, I'm going to beg for forgiveness. In Hebrews, bless God, if you fall away, it is impossible to renew you again unto repentance. Never heard that doctrine.
Uh-oh.
Go like this. Whoa,
whoa. Whoa, whoa.
Hebrews, you can lose your salvation. In fact, if you step away, is it impossible to renew you again under repentance? How come I don't hear that being taught?
There wouldn't be a lot of folks in church.
I mean, old Jimmy Swaggart preached this. But as soon as he ran away with that whore, all of a sudden, somehow you can get back to God. Not true if you believe Hebrews.
That's right.
Jimmy's going to hell if he believes this book and believes that. That's a fact, folks. It said it's impossible. Did it say there may be a probability? There might be a chance if you really work at it? Did it say that? It said it is impossible to renew you again under repentance. That's what the Bible said. Amen? Did I do okay, Miss English teacher? Now, I don't believe the Bible. I know! That's the problem. People don't believe their Bible. They just go to church just to have a church experience, just to sing a few songs, say a few prayers, but they don't want the doctrine of the book. They don't want to really know what it's saying, because if they ever got to what it was saying, ooh, well, that's different than I've ever heard. Just another one over on that side. Go to 1 John. I love this book. Most people don't love it. Most people say, I love Jesus. They go, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because, and they don't even believe the book. You know what? I doubt Brenda would think I loved her if every time she said something, I just ignored her. Eventually she starts saying, well, I don't think you listen to me. You don't love me. You don't listen to me. Isn't that true, Brenda? I mean, somewhere along the way, you'd start to question our love. Amen, Jeff? You just quit listening to Missy every time she says something. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go to a church that teaches Hebrews written to us. And don't follow the doctrine. And you don't love God. Say, well, I believe in Hebrews is written to the church. Then bless God, then do it. Amen? Don't say it. Do it. 1 John. I'm amazed at 1 John. Don't you love 1 John? How many quote 1 John 1:9? Go ahead, let's quote it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How many's quoted that in church? Everybody in here. But you know what? They just don't happen to quote 1 John 2. Verse 20. 1 John 2, verse 20. All right, y'all with me? But you have an unction from the Holy One. How many here has got the Holy Spirit in them?
Amen.
Amen, right? And you know all things. Isn't that what it says? It didn't say you're going to learn all things. It said you what? Gail, close your Bible for a minute. I'm going to test this. I'm going to test it. Close your Bible. Quote me Psalms 32, verse 5. He says, you have an unction inside of you, and you know all things. Amen? Ooh, it's tough, isn't it? Norm? Make sure he doesn't know this one. Zechariah 7, 12. Norm, don't let me down, brother. Somebody's got the Spirit here. Amen? All right, Jeff. Close your Bible. I want you to find, in just seconds, Hezekiah 4:3. Open up and find it. There is no Hezekiah. Hold it. It said, if we're saved, we have the unction. Amen? And we know what? Then either this is lying to us, or we're all lost. Wayne, what are you voting for? I'm not a Hebrew, so I'll give you a hint. I could say real easy, that wasn't written to me. Which one are you voting for? Okay, I like Wayne's converting right easy. Now watch this, 1 John 2, verse 27. Now how many here go to a church at one time or another that's had a Sunday school class? Raise your hand, raise it up. Everybody in here, all right? Well, then you guys are definitely not saved because of 1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. Is that true? And you need not that any man teach... Oh, what am I doing? Huh? It said, you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing who teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. Then you don't need me to teach. Why would you go to a church that has a Sunday school if you believe the book of 1 John is written to you? Come on, everybody. Whoa. I mean, if you believe the Bible, if you believe the Word of God as it's written, and you believe 1 John 1:9, then you got to believe 1 John 2, verse 27. Amen?
Amen?
So why would you go to a church that has a Bible study? You don't believe the Bible. Amen? Or Hebrews isn't written to us and 1 John isn't written to us. Either or. But don't be playing Christianity here. This is not play Christianity. It's let's get the book right. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get the doctrine right so we can know. Because we're all supposed to speak the...
Amen.
Oh, you guys are such good students. We may not be large in numbers, but we've got the Spirit. Isn't it fascinating if Paul was preaching the same thing that he was just contradictory to these guys completely? Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, 1 John says, you need not that any man teach you. Amen? Am I teaching you this morning? Well, then, I'm either rebellious against the Word of God or I've been under another calling. See, I'm being a little tough on you, am I? I don't want to be too tough on you, but I'm just not wanting you to play Christianity anymore. You know, quit faking it. Either become a Bible-believing saint of God or just quit. You know what I mean? Don't act like you got it down. Ephesians chapter 4. This is where my personality kind of starts glowing. I've had so much fun. Peggy, you got to move down here. What are you doing up in St. Louis? There's nothing up there. You got Eugene down here. You got. We'll get him here, I guarantee you, you know. Gail's just right around the corner. Oh, I know a good little church home for you. Where are we? Ephesians 4. All right, now watch this. Verse 11. Now, wouldn't it be weird if he told nobody to teach and then he called teachers? Wouldn't that be weird? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and what? Well, then I think Romans 2 Philemon over here, there's what? Teachers over here?
No teachers.
All right, Gail, which one for you? This or that? I like that too. Good answer. Dave, which one for you?
I'm with the Gentiles.
All right. Hey, praise God. You need teachers. You getting anything out of this today? Tamara, how about you? All right, that's good. Teachers for today. Isn't that amazing? He called the church, the body of Christ, teachers. Why? We need to be taught. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, I love this book. I love the people that love this book. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This part of the program is brought to you by Diet Coke, the Coke for all grace preachers. I'm sorry, we have to pay for this service. All right. This next portion is brought to you by the iPhone. Are you all having a good time? You all have not had this good a time in church in a long, long time. When was the last time? Can you remember the last time you had this good a time? Other than last Sunday, and you guys, you know, don't shout out that last Sunday because that was good, but it doesn't compare to today. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Y'all there? Now watch verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Who's the me? Who wrote Timothy?
Paul.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Huh? So we're to teach faithful men who can do what? Teach others also. Not just teach them about stories about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're not just to teach them about Daniel and the lion's den and that little kitty cat just going, meow, and they're pulling it out. No, no, no. We're teaching the doctrine of the Word of God so that the people can get it. Okay, that was a little more drama than I thought. The reaction wasn't quite equal with what I was thinking. This is the only church you actually get money and go home with. All right. This, you guys have got to impress God for that. That is my last dollar. You know, I didn't realize them Baptists up where I was last night were pretty smart. I came in with $11 and walked out with $1 last night. I'm like, how did they do that? I mean, you know, for me to get that much money out of you, I'd have used a gun. He said, teach faithful men and teach others also. That's the process today. He says on down in verse 7, he says, consider what I say. You know what the word consider has to do? You have to think upon it. You have to read it and study it. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Well, what happens if you don't consider? You won't get it. How about it? When you get the unction over here, will you know all things? Yeah. But over here, what do you have to do to get it? Isn't that fascinating? Are you fascinated? Tom, are you fascinated back there? That's fascinating. That fascinates me. Why, one place tells you to consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Right, Norm? And over here he says, you don't even have to think about it. It'll be given to you, that exact thing. Just boom. Which one is it? Well, see, that matches the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Now, we do sell Bibles. And as you can tell, we can wear them out around here. You know, people say, well, I've had this Bible my whole life. The next thing they know, I need a new Bible. I'm joking. Peggy's about caught on to me now. She's like, I got your number, buddy. You guys are going to have to tune in on the internet now. See, that's the problem. Matthew 10, verse 20. I don't want 28. I want like 19. Let's try 19. Everybody vote for 19? I'm for 19. Let's try 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought. Well, that would be considering. I would definitely put 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 in my Bible right there if I was you. Because it tells you not to consider what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. What's going to give it to you? The unction. I'd put 1 John 2, verse 27 and 20 right there. Huh? Hey, brother, you've been to one of my classes before. You got it? Hey, Jesus told them, take no thought for what you shall even speak. It'll come to you that same hour. The Holy Spirit will give it. You won't have to look up a verse or study it out or wonder about it. That doctrine will come to you just perfectly. But you know what Paul says? Consider what I say and the Lord will give thee understanding. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, not all the Bible is written to you to do.
That's right.
Most of it is written to Israel. But Romans through Philemon is written for you to do. Why? Who's the apostle to the Gentile?
Paul.
Who's the minister to the Gentile?
Paul.
Who's the teacher to the Gentile?
Paul.
Who do we follow?
Oh,
you don't follow the Lord? Well, the Lord said, take no thought for what you shall speak. You know what? Listen, I go into bookstores. I don't know about you. And I stand around. And I just love playing in bookstores. It's like a play. It's like a toy box for me. People come in and say, what Bible should I get? Anybody have something other than King James here? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. That's good. Do you realize that they just leave verses out of the other Bibles? Did you know that? So I go into that. Did you know that? Listen, Matthew 18, verse 11, totally left out in the NIV. It goes from 10 to 12. Matthew 10 to 12? What happened to Matthew 10, 11? Or 18, 11? You know what it says? The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. They left that verse out. But they left the number out. Matthew 18, verse 10 is there. Matthew 18, verse 12 is there. Check it out in your Bible. Say, well, you can't trust the King James, it's just another translation. Yeah, it's fascinating. They all leave them out. King James leaves them in. I could go over 200 verses right now off the top of my head and show you. They leave them out. So I played with these guys. But you know what's fascinating with me? Is these preachers that are preaching on 1 John and all those. I'll sit there and they have these little preacher books. Sermonettes. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you ought to see them. They're swarming in there. You know why? They want to keep up their golf game. I'm just going to steady this up and I'll have it ready for Sunday. That's a fact. You know what that reminds me of? It's when you come to eat at the plate of God. That's what we're doing today, right? Someone invites you over and they put in a microwave dish for you. Now, I know something about Peggy, for a fact. If I came to her house, she wouldn't microwave anything for me. She'd make something nice for me. Wouldn't you? And I would her if I could cook. And it's just a few things God called me to do. And cooking wasn't one of them, but I did figure out one of them. Eating was my part. I got that down. But if Terry came over to my house, I wouldn't stick a microwave burger in. Try to make Terry feel special. Wouldn't you? All week I work on these sermons to make it special. And I don't want to give you microwave stuff. I don't want to give you junk. I want to give you something that you can put in your mouth and it's absolutely fantastic. And when you taste it, it's the richest thing you've ever put in your mouth and you say, "You cooked this for me?" When those other guys are down there collecting the money and passing the plate left and right, left and right, left and right. Just remember, there's a little church in Montgomery that ain't considering anything about your money, and they want to teach you the Word of God without any denominational junk on it. Just read, believe your Bible. Anybody have any problem reading the Word so far? No. Say no.
No.
Well, if you mean it, say no. Some of you guys, I can tell you, and that no is like, I don't. Teachers. So what did Paul say about salvation? You know, he was asked the exact same thing that that guy asked Jesus Christ in Acts 16. Go to Acts 16. Remember what that guy asked him in Matthew? If thou wilt, what must I do to be saved? That was a great question, wasn't it? Look in Acts 16, verse 30. Same question. Now, remember, we got the list of what Jesus said to do, right? Now we're going to get the list that Paul gave. Philippian jailer was brought out. He brought them out, verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That is a great question. Amen?
Amen.
You know the only other place that's mentioned in the Bible about asking about eternal life? Matthew 19, verse 16. I would write that in my Bible. That's the comparison. Matthew 19, one came to him and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have?" And he said, "Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter into life..." And he said, "Which?" And he said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery." And he named seven of them. He said, "I've done all those from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And he said, "What? Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor," and what? "Come and follow me." Now, that's what he said. Same question asked the Apostle Paul. Look at how simple the question is. What must I do to be saved? And you know what he says? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Believe what? Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all of your sins. How many?
All
of them. You know what people singing about sin? There isn't a single sin on planet Earth today. You understand that? Everybody sins the whore, the homosexual, the drug abuser, the pedophile, the murderers, the adulterers, all their sin is gone. Do you understand that? Why? The Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to listen to me. I was watching the channels this morning and my blood was about to boil. It was all about giving up your sin. Well, guys, if you could have given up your sin, you could have just lived and kept the commandments. Amen? That's not the gospel that Paul got. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, listen to the words. For he, that is who? God, God Almighty. For he made him, that is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. To be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What was it that God did? God made His Son to be what? How many sins did He pay for?
Oh.
You know what people down slinging ot, ot? Well, they might be slinging snot, but they're probably not slinging ot. They come down there and say, Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sins. The Lord going, what? Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I'm a wicked man. Huh? Oh, Lord, I am such a sinner. Well, that's true. Won't you forgive me? Huh? Don't you believe the book I've already forgiven you? Huh? Why, the preacher told me I had to repent. Confess my sins. 1 John 1:9. Well, you didn't do 1 John 2:20 very well, or 1 John 2:27. Amen? Hang on to that 1 John 1:9. It may do you some good. But it will never save you. You know why? God made His Son to be sin for us. How many people have sin in this room?
None.
Not a single person. Yeah, you probably do. Little girl's raising her hand. How old are you, 12? How old?
Seven.
My wife thought you were 12. You were so mature. Jesus Christ made His Son to be sin for us. You know how many sins He's holding you accountable for? Look in verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5. Y'all there? I haven't turned there. You got it. 2 Corinthians 5. Now watch this. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on Himself. Everybody help me. Not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is God imputing your trespasses onto you? You know why? God imputed it on His Son. For He made Him to be sin for us. See, I've been in church all my life. Lost as a ball in high weeds. Say, well, how can that be? Hey, I thought at one time God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. I thought I had to keep the commandments in order to be saved. I did. I'm telling you that's what I believed. But I don't believe that anymore. I believe God had grace on me. I believe God sent His Son to dark Calvary and to be punished for my sin. And that God made Him to be sin for me, who was a foul and wicked and low down, no good person at all. You don't hear that kind of preaching lately, do you? And at that cross, are you listening to me? God turned His back on His Son. You know how I know that? Psalms 22. He yells out, "My God! My God! Why hast Thou forsaken me?" And you know why God forsook His Son? Because He made His Son to be me. And Him and me could not be at the same place at the same time. And they mocked him. Don't you know they mocked him? They said, he trusted in the Lord. Let him come down and save him. God turned his back while they beat and nailed him to a cross. And the moment he gave up the breath, he went to hell and paid for me. But that's not the end of the story. Up from the grave he arose. Man, victory. What happened? Justification through the resurrection. Amen? Romans 4, 24. Man, there's hope. Why? He came back from the payment of my sin. Proof that my sins are gone. How many sins are gone?
All.
The Bible says he died for all. You know how many churches today are slinging snot for people who think they got sin on them and they want to get rid of them? And the preacher is telling them they need to repent, they need to confess, they need to say some prayer. You don't have to do any of that. All that has already been done. That's the problem. This room ought to be packed. Amen? Why? There are people out there worried, sick about their sin. Say, will I go to hell? You know what? There's a question in every church. I can go in your church, it doesn't matter what church I go into. Hey, if you commit suicide, would you go to heaven or hell? That's what they say, just like that. Well, if he paid for all the sins at Calvary's cross, which was 3,000 years ago, will suicide send you to hell? No. There isn't anything that can send you hell. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know what? Not only that, I'm not trying to get to heaven. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Woo, this is good preaching. Amen?
Amen?
Don't make me work for myself. Come on, let me hear a little amen.
Amen.
You guys just being awfully quiet this morning. Look at the sweat. That's worth an... isn't that worth an extra $5? Who's going to put an extra $5 in the plate? Look at that. Get a close-up of that. Can you get that? That's real work.
And your hair's a little messed up, too.
That's because my hairdresser hadn't been taking care of me like he should. Don't you think I need a little color? You know, a little color might look good. How many would think I'd look good with a little color on my hair?
No.
All right, let's take a vote. Everybody for color, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Everybody with no color.
Amen.
Oh, you guys are... You just want me to be the old man, don't you?
Amen.
All right, you guys are rough. Where did I tell you to turn? I told you to turn to Ephesians? What? Chapter 1, is that where I was taken? Oh, Ephesians 2 is what I want. All right, now watch. Say, I want to go to heaven. Come on, let me hear you. I want to go to heaven.
I want to go to heaven.
I got great news. You can be just like me and be already there. You're going to believe your Bible, amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Verse 5. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, that was me, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen? And hath raised us up together. Going to or hath? Peggy, what did that say to you? Hath raised us up. Already. And made us sit together in heavenly places. Who's sitting in heavenly places? Listen. How can you lose what you've already gained? It's already yours. I've been sealed unto the day of redemption. Over here, these people could lose their salvation. Why? If they didn't do anything on this list, guess what happened? Guess what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? This one got them. They may have kept all the rest, but this one got them. What happens if you did all this, but you didn't keep the commandments. Everybody.
Yeah.
Go to hell. But you know what? Nothing can sin. You know why? Your sin is not the issue with your at all. You know why? God made His Son to be sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. And you know what? That message of reconciliation is not being taught in the church today. They think sin is the issue. All right, so let's say sin is the issue for just a minute, okay? Y'all, okay? Let's say sin's an issue. Then Hebrews 6 has to come in. It's impossible for you that were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers if you to fall away to renew you again into repentance. So if you go back to sinning, guess what? See the problem? Do you see the problem, Tom? Dave? Gloria? You see the problem? Gail? You see the problem? If sin's an issue, you start back sinning, it's impossible for you to be renewed. But either way, you're in trouble. I'd rather lean on the age of grace. Why would he save the Apostle Paul? Because he had a message that if that message had been made known in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would not have what? If they knew it. That's what 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 and 7 and 8 says. And he said the message that he got was kept secret since. Well, if that's true, the reason God did that is he had something miraculous to tell you. And you know what it was? Now, not only did Jesus Christ die, was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel over here. But it's not the gospel that can save you. The death, burial, and resurrection will not save you. It is the gospel of the grace of God that he died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. You see the difference? What's the gospel here? That Christ died for our sins. How many?
All.
And had they known it back here, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, eternal security. Only place in your Bible that there is eternal security is Romans 2, Philemon. Outside of Romans 2, Philemon, you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even the Old Testament, and Hebrews through Revelation, guess what you don't have? Eternal security. Over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God says you have no need of a teacher, that he'll give it to you that exact same hour. So all the churches that are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and are teaching you that, is disobedient to its own scriptures. Over here, they're told they have an unction from the Holy One, and you know. But Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding. Can you start to see the difference between the ministries? And that doctrine is what needs to be discussed in the church so people will be built up and established and rooted and grounded in love. How many here today got something out of the sermon? That's what it's all about, is to come to church and get something. And walk out of church with, hey, I got a little piece. How many here has been to church, and they never hear anything new? All of us. Same old stuff. Oh, it's about sin. Oh, my sin. Repent. Paul says there's nothing you have to do but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on Calvary's cross and died in your stead, and he will totally accept you into the family of God based upon the faith of Christ. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now, my bow. Debbie, do I owe you anything? Come here for a minute. I want to give this to you. Well, I just don't want to get out of camera with you. I want you to have that gift. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
That's not hard, was it? I've had people say, well, here's your dollar back. Well, if I take the dollar back, I'd be an Indian giver. Right? It wouldn't have been a gift. God Almighty has offered a free gift for everybody. He's paid for your sins. And if you'll receive it just like Debbie received that dollar, He will receive you into glory for all eternity. It is really that simple. And you say, well, you know, do I repent? No, you can't repent for it. If she started repenting, I'd have taken it back. I'd owe it to you if you repented. Say, well, I walked the aisle for Jesus. No, I can't do it for you to walk the aisle for Jesus. Say, well, I said the sinner's prayer. I can't give it to you because you said that. I'd have to give everybody based upon that. I'm giving you salvation because I loved my son and let him become sin for you. Simple message. Simple truth. Easy. You know what? It is amazing, isn't it? I want you to pray for the ministry here. That this message of grace keeps going out. We had over 650 hits on our internet watching all over the United States. And that's not... We have, Linda Nielsen, you said, is probably watching. I know Dee said she's watching this morning. Laura wrote me and said she's going to watch this morning. I know my sister and my dad, one's in Pensacola and the other one's up in Memphis, Tennessee, are watching. If you've got people that you want to turn on to this program, all you have to do is give them gracebiblelive.org. It's a great witnessing tool, great way for people to get connected that may not want to, quote, come to church. And they can see it just like it's live in their own home and in their own living room. And it's happening right now. And so we appreciate all the people watching. And if there's anything you guys want to text to the group, I'll read it to them after we're off the air and stuff. But guys, listen. The most important thing of your life happens right now. See, I thought I'd been saved for years. But I chunked all my religion and trusted what Jesus Christ did for me on the 24th of August, 1983. It's that simple. It's that great. It's grace. Appreciate y'all coming.